Beginning with the Gemara at the very end of Lamed Hei Amud Beis. So the Gemara brings a brisa that the reason why you can't be yotze with tevel is because the Gemara says, don't eat chametz, rather, 7 days eat matzah. So we darshan that grain that had it been chametz, you would be chay because it's chametz, that's grain that you could use for matzah, which excludes tevel, which there's no chiv because of chametz, it's rather, it's also because of tevel. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean there's no chiv of chametz? Where did the chametz go? So the Gemara, first Teretz, Reb Sheshes wanted to answer. We're going like the opinion of Reb Shimon, who holds any Yisr HaChal Yisr. Once it's also because of tevel, another Yisr can fall on top of it, and therefore won't be Yisr because of chametz. Ravina wanted to answer, what the Brisa means to say is something that's not only Yisr because of chametz, it's also Yisr because of tevel. So on that, the Gemara questions, the Pasuk doesn't say that it has to be only also because of chametz. The Gemara says it has to be something that's able to be also because of chametz. Therefore, the Gemara goes back and says that the better teretz is Reb Sheshes' teretz, that we're going like Reb Shimon. Then the Gemara quotes the Brisa that I would think a person could be yotze with Maiser Sheini. So on that says, Reb Yosi Aglili, since it says Lachem Oini, which teaches us something that could be in Baninus when a person's in mourning, which excludes Maiser Sheini, which has to be in Dafka Besimcha. And that Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva says, since it says matzahs many times, matzahs riba, so when it comes to include, even Maiser Sheni, one could be yotze. If so, what am I going to do with lechem oini? So that excludes, it has to be dafka, poor man's bread, to exclude a bread that was kneaded with either wine, oil, and honey, which are ingredients that only rich could afford. So the Gemara explains the machlekes. Rabbi Kiva doesn't darshan oini like Rabbi Yosi Aglili because it's spelled oni without the vav. However, Rabbi Yosi Aglili darshan's oini from the lashon of aninus because it's red oini. Rabbi Kiva says the reason why it's red oini is to teach us another halacha that has to be lechem shayinim alav dvar maharbe, which means to say that you read the Haggadah and hallow on this matzah. The Gemara questions: does Rabbi Kiva hold that a lechem that's not lechem oini, what cannot be eaten on Pesach? Don't we have a brisa that says you cannot knead a dough with either wine, oil, or honey? If you do, Rav Gamliel says it has to be burned right away because we're afraid it becomes chum. It's a chum saying no, as long as you eat it immediately, it's fine. Rabbi Kiva says, I spent Shabbos by Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua and I made a dough with these ingredients and they didn't say anything. Obviously, it's okay. Then the Gemara says, like, even according to the Tanakh, that you're not allowed to do it, but you're allowed to use these ingredients to base the dough once it's made. And on that, the Gemara brings another opinion, the opinion of the Chachamim, that say, no, if you can't knead with these ingredients, you can't base with them as well. Then the Brisa finishes off by saying, everybody could hold that you cannot knead with warm water, because the warm water will cause it to become chametz. At the end of the day, we see, according to Rebbe, you could use all these ingredients, even though they're not lechem ani. So Gemara says, yeah, that's for the rest of Pesach, where there's no chiyuv. The only problem is chametz, it's not chametz. But on the first day, where you need to be yotze the chiyuv of matzah, it has to be dafka, poor man's bread. Similar to what Rebbe Shuv and Levi told his children, that for the first day, don't knead the dough with milk. But on the rest of the days, you could knead the dough with milk. So Gemara asks, how could you knead the dough with milk? Don't we say that you're not going to make a dairy bread because you might come to forget and eat it with meat? And if you do, the bread is aser. So Gemara gives two terutzim. Either he didn't say to knead it with milk, but rather he said to knead it with honey. Or that's only if you make a large quantity, but if you make a small amount, that's going to be eaten one shot, so then we're not afraid, and therefore it's mutter even to make a dairy bread. That which we said, you can't knead it with warm water. So we asked, why is that any different than a karban mincha, which cannot be chametz, and nonetheless they used to knead it with warm water? So the Gemara answers, there it was done with the Kehanim, who were Zrizim, they were careful, so then they could be trusted. However, over here, where it's not done with Zrizim, that's why it has to be with dafka cold water. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, that by Minchas, we should allow them to do the sisa as well, which means when they crush it, before they grind it, they should be able to crush it with water to remove the chaff better. And we know that it's not true, that the Menachas were not, this Lassisa process was not done to them. So we answer, because the kneading was done with reason, but at the time of the Lassisa, when they ground it, that was done outside, it wasn't done with Kehanim, and therefore that's why we don't do it. So says the Gemara, was the kneading done with Kehanim? We know that only from the Kemitzan on requires Kehanim, but until then, even the mixing and the pouring of the oil could be done all with a non-Kehanim. So the Gemara says, you're right, it wasn't done with Kehanim, but at least it was done in the Azar, where the Kehanim are. Whereas the Lasisa wasn't even done in the Azar. And that which it says by the Karban Omer, that they did Lasisa to it, they first crushed it with this water, and then they piled it up to drain it out so it shouldn't become Chometz. So there is a difference. This is a Karban Sefer. The Bezim made sure to take Dafka professionals who knew how to do it in a way that it won't become Chometz. Then the Gemara quotes a Braisa that Rav Yosi Aglieli says that you cannot be Yetzir Chiyuv of Matzah with Bikurim, because it has to be Bechol Mashrei Seichem, something that can be eaten wherever Klal Yisrael is, which excludes Bikurim, that could only be eaten in Yerushalayim. Rav Akiva says the way we exclude Bikurim is because the Torah compares Matzah to Mar, just like Mar cannot be Bikurim because Bikurim is only from the Shivas Aminim, so too Matzah has to be something that's not Bikurim. If that's the case of the Gemara, let's take it a step further. Just like matzah is not even from the species that could become Bikurim, so too matzah can't be from that species, and therefore you shouldn't be able to make matzah from either wheat or barley. So on that, the Gemara answers, matzah's riba, the fact that it says matzah many times, that includes even these species. If that's the case, then maybe it could be, include even something that's actually Bikurim. So the Gemara says, you're right, Rabbi Kiva was chayzer from this drasha, he retracted from this drasha. How do I know? Because we have a brisa that says, I would think you could be yetzir with Bikurim. On that we learn from Bechol Mashrei Seichem to exclude Bikurim, which can't be eaten anywhere, dafka in Yerushalayim. If that's the case, I would exclude Maaser Sheni as well. On that says the brisa, no, matzah's riba, matzah's includes that you could be yetzir with Maaser Sheni. What's the difference? Maaser Sheni also has to be eaten specifically in Yerushalayim. Teretz is, there's a way that Maaser Sheni could be eaten out of Yerushalayim, like Rabbi Lazar. Because Rabbi Lazar says that once the Maaser Sheni becomes Tameh, even if it's Tameh in Yerushalayim, it may be redeemed, and then it could be eaten anywhere. How do I know that? Because the Pasuk says, Ki lo yisuchal se'esai. You redeem Maaser Sheni when you can't be se'esai, and se'esai could also mean when you can't eat it. Like it says by Yosef, when he gave portions to his brothers, it says, Aloshon of Vayisamat is Meizbanov. Now, who is the Tana of this Braisa who says you could be Yosef with Maaser Sheni? Obviously, it's Rabbi Kiva. And nonetheless, he excludes Bikurim from Bechol Mashrei Seichem, and not for matzah, the hekesh of matzah tomorrow. According to Rabbi Yosi Aglieli, why does he have to exclude Bikurim from lechem from Meishrois? Why doesn't he exclude it from the fact that it's not lechem oini, it's not lechem that could be eaten by ninus? So the Gemara says he must hold like Reb Shimon, who holds that an oinin may eat Bikurim. Like we have a machloikis, the Tanakhama says Bikurim is usher for an oinin to eat. Someone was mourning, and on that Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's mutter. The Gemara explains, the Tanakhama holds that it's also because the Pasuk says, Leisukhalecha b'sharecha, and in the list over there, it speaks about Meiser, and then at the end of the list it says, Trumas Yotcho, which we know is Bikurim, so we're makish, true Bikurim, to Meiser, just like Meiser is also to an oinin, so to Bikurim is also to an oinin. Rabbi Shimon argues, because Rabbi Shimon says, since it's called Trumas Yotcho, the Torah compares Bikurim to Truma, just like Truma is mutter to an oinin, so to Bikurim is mutter to an oinin. Says the Gemara, even if you don't make the hekesh to Maaser Sheni, but it says simcha by Bikurim itself, v'samacha b'chol ha'tayv. So the Gemara answers, that simcha is coming to tell us that Bikurim is brought at the time that you're happy with the crop that grew that year, which, like the Mishnah says, that from Shavuos till Sukkot, they bring the Bikurim and they read the parasha of Mikra Bikurim, whereas from Sukkot till Chanukah, they could still bring the Bikurim, but they can no longer read the parasha. Then the Gemara quotes a braisa that says, lechem oini, it has to be a poor man's bread, which excludes a boiled bread, which is the way rich people do it, or an ashisha is a very fancy large loaf, which again, poor people wouldn't make. I would think if that's the case, then it has to be only made from coarse flour. So on that we say matzah's riba, that it could even be as fine as the matzah that Shlomo HaMelech had, as long as it's the regular type of matzah, that's okay. Lechem oini only excludes these special types like boiled and ashisha. How do we know that this ashisha is a fancy type of bread? Because it says by Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the Beis HaMikdash, he gave out to everybody a loaf of bread, and then it says he gave out an ashbar and an ashisha. And we darshan that an ashbar means echa mishisha bepar, 1/6 of a cow of meat to eat, and ashisha is echa mishisha beifa, is a loaf of bread that had so much flour in it that it was 1/6 of an eifa of flour. And this translation of the Pasuk says the Gemara is not like Shmuel, because Shmuel says that Ashisha over there is not referring to a large loaf of bread, but rather it's referring to a barrel of wine, like it says in the Pasuk, V'ayave Ashisha Anovim. Then the Gemara quotes a braisa that you cannot bake past of a thick bread on Pesach, according to Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel permits it. How much could you bake? So the Gemara says, up to a tefach, because we find the lechem upon him, which cannot be chametz, and nonetheless it was a tefach thick. So on that, Rabbi Yosef asks, how could you compare it to there? Over there, it was done with zrizim, as opposed to everywhere else. Plus, the dough was worked out. Plus, the wood in the Beis HaMikdash was very dry wood, as opposed to everywhere else, where it wasn't necessarily so dry. The oven was much hotter, because it was consistently used. And finally, that oven was made out of metal. Most ovens were made out of cheres. So how could you, so over there, because of all those criteria, that's why you were able to make it, even the tefach thick. Rather, says Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, that pshat in pas oven means that it was making a lot at a time. So why, if that's the case, was it called thick? Because either because when you make a lot at a time, the dough is thick, or because in the locale of that time, a lot of bread, that's the way they refer to it as pas oven. According to this pshat, so the reason why it's usher is because it's not tzarech yomtiv, you're making more than is necessary for yomtiv, so why specifically on Pesach, on any yomtiv it should be a problem. So the Gemara says, Enechanami, the reason why the Tana said Pesach is because it happened to be Pesach at the time that the Tana wrote this brisa, and the Gemara proves it because we have another brisa that says Beferish, that Beishamah says you can't bake Passover on yomtiv, it doesn't mention Pesach, it's mashma any yomtiv. Then the Gemara says another price that you could be yotzei yechiyuv of achilas matzah, whether it's made from fine flour, whether it's made from coarse flour, or whether it's these fancy design shaped matzahs. Now, even though you're not allowed to make these, says the price lechatchila, but nonetheless, b'diavad, if you made them, you could be yotzei. And the Gemara explains, price has been zunim asacham, why you're not allowed to make these shaped matzahs on Pesach? And they answered him, because a woman, while she's baking, she's going to spend her time making the shape nice, and in the meantime, it's going to become chametz. So he asked him, what if you do it with a mold? So they answered back, no, because we can't start differentiating and say that everybody else's fancy shapes are also, but yours that are made with a mold are mutter. The Gemara brings a story that Rav Elazar ben Tzaddik one time went with his father to Rav Gamliel's house, and they brought these shaped matzahs. So he asked his father, don't we say that you're not allowed to make the sarikim that have shapes? So he said, according to the first lashon of the Gemara, that's only by a baker, but a private person, since he doesn't care to make it so nice, he's not going to spend time on it, so it's okay. The economics said the exact opposite. It's only also by a regular person, because most regular people don't have molds. But of a baker, it's mutter, because most bakers have molds. Then the Gemara quotes the opinion of Yosi that these fancy-shaped ones are only a problem when they're thick, but if they're thin like wafers, then they're not a problem. Gemara quotes a brisa. The brisa says, with regard to challah, so any dough that's spongy, or it's fried in honey, or it's a very thin batter, or it's chalas hamatzus, which the Gemara says is boiled, or it's meduma, it's made from a mixture of chum and chulin, so then it's pata from chala. And the reason is, because all the ones, besides the last one, it's pata because it's chuma, all the other ones because they're not considered lechem. And that says Reish Lakish, this is true even when they're baked in a pot. Rabbi Yechon said, no, if they're baked in a pot, then they would be chayiv, and only if they're baked in the sun, that's when they're potter. So now the Gemara asks, from a brisa, the brisa says, all these things, sufganim, tufshanim, iskaritim, and so on, if they're made from a pot, they're chayiv, if they're made in the sun, they're potter. So that's a right to Rabbi Yechon and Akash on Reish Lakish. So Ula says, even Reish Lakish agrees, that if you preheat the pot first, and then you attach the dough, so then it's mamash like an oven, and then it's chayiv. It's only potter if you attach it first and then you heat it up. If that's the case, why did the Brice in the Sefer have to say that it's potter when you do it in the sun? In pot itself distinguish between if you heated it up first and then you attach it, or you attach it and then you heat it up. So the Gemara says, Enechanami, there's a piece missing from the Brice, and the Brice should read as follows. But Medvar Memur, that it's chayiv only if you heated it first and then you attached it. But if you attached it and then you heated it up, it's as if you baked it in the sun, and therefore it's potter. Then we quote another brisa, you could be eating with matzah that's only partially baked, or with matzah that's baked in a pot. So what do we see? That it's chayiv, again, a kashan Reish Lakish. So the Gemara says, again, the same teretz. Over here we're talking that you heated the pot first, and then you attach the dough. What level of partially baked could you be eating with it? Says Rebbe Yudin and Mishmuel, as long as you break it apart, and there's no strings of dough that pull from one side to the other, so then you could be yotze with it. Rava said the same halacha would be true for lach mitayda as well. Once it's baked to that level, then if someone shes the carbon, those lechem would become kaddish. So Gemara says, obviously, just like matzah has to be lechem, over there also has to be lechem. So the same qualification for Lechem over here is for over there. On that, the Gemara answers, I might think that since the Torah says Echa Mikol Korban, and it has to be a Sholem, and not a broken piece, I would think that since it's only part baked, it's not considered a Sholem, it's like a broken piece, Kamash Mulam, that you could be Yotze with it. Then the Gemara asks further, we have a Brisa that says, if you make a boiled dough that's called Me'isa, Beishamah says it's part of Beisil, says Chayiv. If you make a boiled dough that's called Achlita, so then the opposite, Beishamah says Chayiv, and Beisil says Potter. Me'isa says the Braisa is that the Kemach is put into the hot water, and the Chalita is the opposite way, that the hot water is put into the flour. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi says, in the name of his father, Rabbi Yossi, both are Potter, and another piece it was that both are Chayiv. The Chachamim say, it depends. If it was baked afterwards in a pot, it's butter. If it was baked afterwards in an oven, it's chayiv. So first the Gemara explains, according to the Tanakhama, what's the difference if it's me'isa or chalita? Either way, it's boiled. So Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, and a chanami. It's a stira, meaning it's two different tanoim, and the Tanakhama who says me'isa is chayiv according to Beis Shammai, who had in a chalita. According to Beis Hillel, who had in chalita. And the second Tana that says chalita is Potter according to Beisil, who are the Misa, and it's two different shitas. But going back to Rabbi Yochanan, the Chacham said if it's baked in a pot, it's no good, so it's the Kashan Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan will answer you, it's a Machlokes Tanoim. Because we have a Brisa that says, I would think that these boiled doughs, Misa and Chalit, are Chayim and Chalot, and that the Pasuk says Lechem, and these are not considered Lechem. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's only considered Lechem if it's baked in an oven. So what's Rabbi Yehuda coming to say? That it's part of that, the Tanakhama said the same thing. Must be that the Tanakhama only said it's potter if it was boiled and it wasn't baked at all. But if once it was baked in a pot, it's chayiv. Zokter b'yudah that it's only chayiv if it's baked in an oven. Says the Gemara, no raya from there, because maybe everybody agrees if it's baked in a pot, it's not considered lechem. The case is over here, it was first baked in a pot, and then it was baked again a second time in the oven. So Tanakhama says, since it was rebaked, it's chayiv. On that, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's only chayiv if it was initially baked in an oven. But if it was baked first somewhere else and then baked a second time in an oven, it's not chayiv. And he learns that from the pasuk, because the pasuk says, only bread that's baked in one oven one time, then it's called lechem. Otherwise, it's not called lechem. Then the Gemara brings a story that Rabba and Rabbi Yosef were sitting behind Rabbi Zeira, who was sitting in front of Ula. So first Rabba asked Rabbi Zeira to ask Ula, what happens if you attach it to the pot from the inside and then you heat it from the outside? So he said, why should I ask him that shaila? He's going to tell me that's obvious, that's the shaila, that's the case of Ilfus that Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shlokish argued about, and this would be the subject to that machlokes. So then Rabbi Yosef asked Rabbi Zeira to ask Ula, what happens if you put the fire source on the inside, but not a whole fire source, but rather just one torch? So he said, again, that's not a shaila. I'm not going to ask him that, because most anim who can't afford a lot of fuel, that's what they do. Most poor people, they just take one log, and that's how they heat it up. So again, that would be the regular ilfus, the regular pot that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish argued about. Then Rav Asi discusses, what happens if you have a dough made out of Maaser Sheni? So he says, according to a mayor who holds that Maaser Sheni is Maman Gavoya, so it's Potter from Chala. According to the Chamu, that is Maman Hedyid, it's Chayim Chala. Similarly, according to a mayor, you can't be Yotzi Yerchiyav of Achilas Matzah with it. According to the Chacham, you may be Yotzi Yerchiyav of Achilas Matzah. Thirdly, if you have an Esrog of Maaser Sheni, according to a mayor, you cannot be Yotzi Yerchiyav of Dalan Minim. According to the Chacham, you could be Yotzi Yerchiyav. So, on that, the Gemara asks, I understand by Chala it says Arisa Sechem has to be yours. Who are then by Esrog it says Lakach to Mechem has to be yours. But where do we see that Matzah has to be yours? So the Gemara says, because you have a Gzer Sheva Lechem Lechem. It says Lechem by Matzah, it says Lechem by Chala. So just like Chala has to be yours, so too by Matzah it has to be yours. So on that, the Gemara says, let us bring a Raya from a Baisa that says that a dough of Maaser Sheni is Potter from Chala according to a Meir, and according to the Chum, it's Chayef. So on that, the Gemara challenges, what do you mean, let us say it's a riot? That it says explicitly, like Rabasi said. So the Gemara answers, no, maybe it's only a riot by Maizish, by Chala, because it says Arisa Sechem twice, so it has to be total years. But as far as the other ones are concerned, where it doesn't say it twice, so maybe, even though it's Mamon Gavoya, but since it's in your jurisdiction, it's enough, so we don't necessarily have a riot. Then Rish Lakish asked the Shaila, could a person be Yotze with Chala of Maaser Sheni? So according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that you can't be yoytze with Maaser Sheni at all. So obviously, Chalav Maaser Sheni you can't be yoytze with. The Shai is according to Rabbi Akiva that you could be yoytze with regular Maaser Sheni because it is eaten b'chol Maasers. Because if it becomes tamei, it could be redeemed. But what about over here? Now that it's Chalav of Maaser Sheni, so now if it becomes tamei, it can no longer be redeemed. It has to be burnt. So maybe it's not called Necho B'chol Mashis, or do we say that since regular Maaser Sheni, before you Mafrish Chala, you could be Yaitze with, so now that you are Mafrish Chala, it's not going to be any worse. Then the Gemara says a second Lashon, Igud Amri, that in such a case everybody would agree that you do say Hayol, and therefore you could be Yaitze with it. The question is, what about produce that was bought from Maaser Sheni money, and then you separated Chala with it, what's the Halacha? So again, the Gemara explains, according to Rabbanim, that even things that are bought for Maaser Sheni money, if they become tamei, they can be redeemed again. It's no shaila. It's the same as regular Maaser Sheni. The shaila is according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that once it's bought for Maaser Sheni money, it can no longer be redeemed if it becomes tamei. Rather, it has to be buried. So now the question is, do we say a double hoyle? First of all, if it would be regular Maaser Sheni, it could be redeemed. And second of all, if it wouldn't be challah, it could be redeemed. Or maybe we only say one oil, not two oils. And therefore, you cannot be yaitze with it. And that Rava says, as far as that all Maaser Sheni is the same, and once you could be yaitze with Maaser Sheni, you could be yaitze with even this type of Maaser Sheni. Then the Gemara goes back to our Mishnah that says, Chalas Toida Rukika Nasi, you cannot be yaitze with it. So the Gemara wants to know why not. So Rava says, because it says, it has to be washed, the shame matzah, whereas over here it was watched the same carbon. Rabbi Yossi says it has to be a matzah that's eaten for 7 days, and the carbon tayda can only be eaten for a day and a night. The Gemara brings a price that says like Rabba, and a different price that says like Rabbi Yossi. Then the Gemara says, why do we need these new drushes? Why can't we just learn it from like we said before? Lechem ayni is something that could be eaten by ninus. These karbanos cannot be eaten by ninus. So the Gemara says, because this Tana, these Tanoim, hold up Rebbe Akiva, who doesn't hold of this drush of lechem ayni. In fact, Gemara, but these are made with oil in it, so it's matzah ashira. So anyway, it's excluded because of matzah ashira. So the Gemara says, since it's only ravias of oil, and it's split over so many loaves of bread, so it's not enough to be considered matzah ashira. But still, it's not Necho B'chol Maishris, it can't be eaten out of Yerushalayim. So on that, Rish Lakish says that in the time of Noivin Givoin, when they were allowed to be Makriv on Bombas on private Mizbeches, this Tana holds that they had Chalas Toida Rukika Nazir. So at that point in time, it was Necho B'chol Maishris. So therefore, we wanted to look for a different reason to say even during that time, you cannot be Yaitu with them. Then the Gemara quotes a price that Rabbi Loi asked Rabbi Eliezer, could a person be Yaitu with Chalas Toida Rukika Nazir? And he said, I didn't hear. I don't know. So he went to ask Rabbi Shua, and Rabbi Shua said, if it was made for himself privately, you cannot be yaitze with it. But if it was made to sell in the shuk, to sell in the market, then you could be yaitze with it. He went back to Rabbi Yezer and he told him that. So according to the first version of the story, he said, a lashon of a Shua bris, that yes, this is the way Hashem told it to Moshe B'sina, meaning it's correct. And according to the second lashon, he asked, do you think this is correct? How could you differentiate, distinguish between the two without a reason? So therefore, he didn't accept it. However, the Gemara itself explains what's the reason to differentiate if you made it privately or you made it to sell. Because if you made it to sell, you know that there's a chance that it might not be sold, and therefore you have in mind that if it's not going to sell, you're going to not use it for chalas toida or kikanoza, rather you're going to use it for yourself for matzah. So it's like you made a tanai, a condition to begin with. Then the next Mishnah quotes, what could you use for achilas marah, for eating marah, and the marah gives a list of 5 types of vegetables, chazeres, tamchol, charkavino, ulshin, and marah. And you could use these vegetables whether they are moist or even after they're dried out, however not when they're preserved, or if they're very cooked or regular cooked. All the different types together could combine to one kezayas to be yoytze. You could be yoytze even if you eat the stalks of them, and even if they're demai, produce that's bought from Marz, or Maaser Rishon that the Trumas Maaser was taken off, or Maaser Sheni and Hekdish that were redeemed. So the Gemara explains that Chazeres is Chasa, which is lettuce, Ulshin is endives, Tamcha is this type of vegetable which most understand is horseradish, Charchavina is some type of vine that grows on a date tree, a palm tree, and Marr is this vegetable known as wormwood. Then the Gemara quotes a bunch of different prices that add other types of bitter vegetables that you could be yaitzeh with. And in summation, the Gemara brings a machlokes tanaim that Rabbi Yehuda says that any, as long as it has saraf, as long as it has like this milky sap inside when you crush it or cut it, so then you could be yaitzeh mara with it. Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika says as long as it has a pale color to it. Acherim say that it has to have both conditions in order to be yaitzeh with it. On that, the Gemara says that the halacha is like a cherim, and Rabbi Yochanan commented, if you look at all the examples from all the different prices and the Mishnahs that say what you could use, the common thread between all of them is that they both have these two conditions. Then the Gemara brings a story that Ravina one time saw the Rabbi Acha Berei de Rava looking dafka to get merirta, this wormwood, to be yaitzeh. So he asked him, why are you looking for that? Because it's more bitter. But our Mishnah and many of the prices that we quoted say, mention chazeres first, lettuce first, which sounds like that would be the best. And Rabbi Yoshi said explicitly that lettuce is the best, and on that, Rav explains, because lettuce is known as chasa, which comes from the lashon of chus, that Hashem had rachmanis on us, that reminds us that Hashem had took pity on us and took us out of Mitzrayim. And Rav Shimon bar Nachman said another reason, because the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians were compared to Mara, because Mara starts out soft and then became hard. So too the Shibun Mitzrayim, they started out offering to pay soft, lightly, and then it got harder and harder. And which Mara has that characteristic? Lettuce. So he says, so he retracted, he accepted that which we said, that the best one to use is lettuce. Then Rebbe Chumi asks, who said a Mara is a vegetable in the first place? Maybe it's the gall of a fish. So the Gemara said it because just like matzah's gedulei karka grows in the ground, so tomorrow has to grow from the ground. So maybe it's a bitter tree. So just like matzah is a type of plant, so tomorrow has to be a plant. So maybe it's this type of plant which is poisonous to a behema, and it's not really so edible. So the Gemara says no. Just like matzah is something that has to be food that you could purchase with ma'aser sheni money, so tomorrow has to be something that could be purchased with ma'aser sheni money. Then the Gemara asks, maybe there's only, who said there's a whole list of vegetables you could use? Maybe there's only one specific type of vegetable. So the Gemara says, since it says meroirim, plural, it's not limited to one. So maybe it's a minimum plural, which is two. So the Gemara said, just like matzah, you could be yotze with many different types, all five types of grain, so tomorrow there's many different types. Then the Gemara said that the vegetables that one could use for myrrh, they could all be planted in the same row in a garden. So presumably that means that there's no iser kalayim. They could be planted together in a mixture. On that we ask, the Brisa says that lettuce together with wild lettuce, or endives together with wild endives, or leeks together with wild leeks, or coriander together with wild coriander, or mustard together with the Egyptian mustard, or a gourd, Egyptian gourd together with a different type of gourd, are not kalayim. So it's mashma dafka, each pair is not kalayim, but to mix them are kalayim. So we see that the different types of mar, if you mix them together, there would be a problem of kalayim. So the Gemara says, Anacharami, it means to say that they were planted kilchasim with the right amount of space. If that's the case, then what's your chiddush? That's a Mishnah. That if you have a row in a garden that's 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim, you could plant 5 different species, 4 on the 4 sides and 1 in the center. So the Gemara said, I would think that that's dafka by zroim, but by vegetables, maybe not. Kamash malon, that even mar, which is the vegetables, may be planted. So that says the Gemara seems to say that vegetables are worse than zroim. If anything, we say in the Mishnah the exact opposite, because the Mishnah says zroim plants may not be planted together in a row, whereas vegetables may. So the Gemara says you're right. So I would think that mara are considered zroim, and therefore they may not be, and that's his kiddush that they may be planted because they're considered yerukis. So says the Gemara, what's the havamina that they're not yerukis? Our Mishnah calls them yerukis, and all the Brises also call them yerukis. So the Gemara said that I would think that lettuce, since it, even though it starts as a vegetable, since it eventually gets hard, so maybe you should give more space, because we find such a concept that we say by krill, by cabbage, that since it's going to be, that once it becomes hard, you have to give it more space up to the size of the area of a quarter of a calf. So therefore, maybe you shouldn't initially plant this lettuce in a row. Kamash alon, that no, we don't, it's allowed to be planted in a row. Says the Gemara, going back to the Mishnah, you're yet to whether they're moist or whether they're dried out. So on that, Rav Chisda says, that's only true with the stalks. But the leaves, once they're dried out, you can't be yet to with them. So the Mishnah says, the Gemara says, that from the fact that the Mishnah says in the Sefer that you could be yet to with the stalks, it's mashma until then we're talking about the leaves. So when the Mishnah says, Bein lach and bein yaveshim, it was referring to the leaves. So the Gemara says, no, that which the Sefer says, Yotze Mikalo Shalahem, is not a new thing, but rather an explanation. That which we said before, that your Yotze, Vein Lachem Min Yevesh, whether it's moist or whether they're dried out, that's only referring to the stalks. Then the Gemara asks him a price, and the price says you could be yotze with them or with their stalks, whether they're moist, whether they're dried out. That's the Shita of Rami. Racham say that only when they're moist you could be yotze, but not once they're dried out. And everybody agrees you could be yotze with them if they're starting to wither, but not if they're preserved, not if they're cooked. And the rule is, as long as it still retains the taste of mar, then you could be yotze. Otherwise, you cannot be yotze. Bottom line, we see you could use them once they're dried out. So that the Gemara says, that's only referring to the stalks and not the leaves. Then the Gemara calls another bison that says it's a machlek sanoim, if you could be yotzi with them when they're withering out. Rami Bar Chama has a shayla, could you be yotzi with meiser of meiser sheni marer? So according to Rabbi Kiva, that even matzah you could be yotzi with meiser sheni, so for sure marer. The Shai is according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, who says you cannot be Yotze Matzah. Maybe that's Alka Matzah where the Maizer Sheni is the Raisa, but over here, where it's only the Rabbanon on these species, so maybe you could be Yotze, or maybe not. Maybe we say called the Tukan Rabbanon, and whatever the Chazal established, they established Kain the Raisa. So on that, Rabbi said, it's Mestabah, the Matzah more the same way that you cannot be Yotze according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Matzah with Maizer Sheni, so too you cannot be Yotze Mar with Maizer Sheni. Next, Mishnah says you cannot soak bran for chickens because it's going to become chametz. But you could boil them first and then they won't become chametz. Similarly, a woman cannot soak bran to take it with her to the merchus, to the bathhouse, but she could rub it while it's dry on her flesh, and then we're not afraid that it's going to become chametz then. Lastly, a person may not chew wheat in order to make it into like a bandage to place it on top of his wound, because as he's doing that, it's going to cause it to become chametz. Gemara quotes a brisa that the following processes, once they're done, it doesn't become chametz: if you bake it, if you cook it, or if you boil it in boiling hot water. So the Gemara asks, the case of cooking obviously means not that you boiled it into hot water, because that's the next case. It means that you put it into water and then you put the pot on the fire. So until the water gets hot, why doesn't it become chametz? So Mer says, it's not two separate cases, baked or cooked, but rather it's one case. Once it's baked, if you cook it afterwards, it doesn't become chametz. Or if you boil initially, that as soon as it goes in, it went into boiling hot water. Then the Gemara says that if you have flour that rain is dripping into it, as long as it's a constant drip that doesn't stop, it will not become chametz. Then the Gemara discusses this type of food called the sika, which has flour in it. So Reb Shila wanted to say it's mutter, and then we brought another baisa that says it's usher. So we explained, if it's the ingredients are with the in the flour is oil and salt, so then it's mutter, because may parents, like we said before, are not machmitz. However, if it's water and salt, then it becomes usher. Barzutra says a person should not thicken a pot with flour, even from roasted kernels, because we're afraid that the roasting didn't fully cook it, and therefore it could still become chametz. Says Reb Yosef, a person cannot take kernels of wheat and boil them in hot water two at a time, because we're afraid one's going to sit in the crack in the crevice of the other one, and the water's not going to cook it from all sides, and therefore it could become chametz. Abai wanted to say a person shouldn't roast two stalks at the same time, because maybe the juice will leak out of one and go into the other and cause it to become chametz. On that, Rava says, if that's the case, even one stalk, why are you not afraid that it's going to come from one side of the stalk to the other side of the stalk? Therefore, says Rava, it's not a problem, because it's May Paris, it's fruit juices, and May Paris anyway doesn't become chametz. Then a Gemara says that even Abai himself retracted, because Abai said, as long as the liquid is flowing out, and it's not going to get absorbed, then it's not going to become chametz. Where do we see this? Because Abai says a jug that you're roasting kernels inside an oven, so if it's standing straight, so the water pulls up in the bottom, it will make the kernels chametz. But if it's lying on its side, so the water drips out, it will not become chametz, because as long as it's flowing out, it doesn't become chametz. Rava says again, over here, the Shitasa, even if it's standing straight, even and it's pooling on the bottom, it's still not a problem, because it's May Paris, and May Paris does not make chametz. Then the Gemara quotes a brisa that says, one cannot do the sisa, like we explained before, means that you crush it before you grind it with water in order to remove the chaff. So one cannot do that with barley on Pesach because it could cause it to become chametz. If one did so if the kernels start cracking, then it's chametz. If they didn't start cracking as of yet, then you could assume that they didn't become chametz. Rabbi Yossi says, if you did this process, so what you should do is right away soak them in vinegar, and the vinegar will cause them to contract, and it will stop the chimutz process. On that, Shmuel says, we don't pass them like this, Rabbi Yossi. Then the Gemara brings in the discussion that Rav Chisda says in the name of Mar Okvo that which we say crack doesn't mean literally that the kernels crack, but rather if they're soft enough that if you would put them on top of a barrel of wine, that would cause them to crack, so then it's already a problem. Shmuel says, no, it's only a problem when they're literally cracked, and the Gemara says, Shmuel made a story, Halach of Lamaisa, he passed them to Nishitasli, that until they're fully cracked, they're naturally, then they're mutter. Rabba said that someone who's a Baal Nefesh, someone who's chosid, he's scrupulous at what he does, so then he should not do the sisa. So the Gemara says, why dafka Baal Nefesh? We just set a price that according to everybody it's usher. So the Gemara says, that which the price that it's usher is to buy barley. By wheat, since it's hard, me'ikra din it's mutter, and only a Baal Nefesh, we said, should not do it. And there, Reb Nachman said, no one's going to listen to you, because if you listen to you, then you're not going to have any good bread to eat. You'll only have bad bread that has all the chaff mixed in. And we see all these Amoraim, they did do the sisa, so we see it's no problem. Then the Gemara quotes the opinion of Rava. Rava says that it was usher to do the sisa because it will become chametz. And that which we said in the price of barley, which you could be medayach like we said before, that's dafka barley and not wheat. So Rava says the exact opposite. Not only wheat that has cracks in it so the water can get stuck in the cracks and become chametz, that even barley, which is smooth, so you might think it's not a problem, kamash malon, even barley is a problem. Then Rava said, no, it's permitted to do the sisa. Like we learned in a brisa that we quoted before, that you could be yotze with matzah that's made from fine flour. How do you have fine flour if you didn't do the sisa? And that Rav Papa asked, what do you mean? We have a brisa that says, flour that's purchased from a guy, if it's in the villages where they don't do the sisa, so then it's not moksha l'kabel tumah, you could assume it's tar. If it's in the big cities where they do the sisa, so then it's assumed to be tamei. Now, if they didn't do the sisa, how is it called fine flour? So it must be it's shaykh to have fine flour, even without the sisa. So Gemara says, that which we said, if it's in the villages, it's not going on fine flour, but rather if you purchase kemach, coarse flour from the goyim, but anachanami, fine flour is not shaykh. After Rava left, Rav Papa said, I should have asked him from a different case, that Shmuel says that the wheat of Menachis, like we quoted before, did not have the sisa. And nonetheless, we know from the psukim that the flour of Menachis was called flailus, was called fine flour. It must be a shaykh to have fine flour even without the sisa. Then Rava went a step further, and Rava said, not only is it permitted to do the sisa, but it's even a mitzvah to do the sisa. Because the Torah says you should guard it. Now, what are you guarding it from if you didn't do the sisa? It can't become chametz anyway until much later. So it must be that you're actually doing the sisa, and that's why you have to guard it. Right, the Gemara, maybe you're just watching it from the time that you pour in flour and water into the flour and to start kneading it. So says Rava that no, watching it from then you can't be yetzir chiyuv shmir. And the raya is because it says in the Brisa if you purchase dough from a guy, as long as you can tell it's not chametz, you could fill yourself up with that dough, but you cannot be yetzir chiyuv with it, and therefore you have to eat a gezayis of real matzah afterwards to be yetzir the chiyuv of achilas matzah. Why can you not be yotze with it? Because it was not shmir was not done to it. So do it from then on, from the baking and on. Must be that shmir from baking is no good. So who hadin shmir from the kneading and on is no good. It has to be from the beginning, even before you started grinding it. On that, the Gemara says no raya. Maybe over there, because you didn't do shmir from the beginning of when it was possible to become chametz, because it was already dough and you weren't watching it. But if you do shmir from the beginning of when it was possible to become chametz, even though it's only from the time of the lisha, from the time of the kneading, and not beforehand, maybe that's enough to be considered shmira. On that, the Gemara says, nonetheless, even though Rava didn't have a riot to what he said, he continued with his shita that he held that there's a mitzvah to do shmira from the beginning, and that's why he told the people that used to stack up the bundles, that when they're making the bundles, turning over the bundles of grain for matzah, they should do it l'shei matzah because it needs shmir from the beginning. Similarly, Gemara says that Marbury Dervina, his mother used to put aside for him bowls of grain to be shomered from the beginning, l'shem matzah. Gemara brings a story, there was a boat that sunk and was loaded with wheat. So Rava said that they should sell the wheat to Goyim. So on that the Mishnah says that if you have a beged that had shatnez in it, but you can't tell where it is, so you should not sell it to a Goy, because maybe you will buy it from the Goy, and or similarly you shouldn't make a saddle out of it, because maybe eventually you'll take a patch on the saddle and not realizing it's shatnez, and you'll put it into a beged. But you could use it for shraus, for tachrikim, for a dead body, because once you do that, it's also banon, and you'll never, a regular person will never come to wear it. So we see you can't sell it to a guy because we're afraid that a yid might buy it from the guy. So the same thing over here. These wheat, since they became chametz, you shouldn't sell it to a guy because maybe a yid will not realize it and end up buying this wheat from a guy. Therefore, Rava said, sell it in small amounts to a Jew that it could get done before Pesach. Gemara quotes a brisa, you can't thicken a pot with flour on Pesach, and if you want to do it, so put flour first and then pour vinegar in because the vinegar will stop it from becoming chametz. Others say you could do it the opposite way as well. You could put vinegar in first, and then put in the flour. So we said, who's the second opinion? So says Reb Chista, that it's the opinion of Reb Yehuda that we said that with regard to Hilchos Shabbos, we say that a pot that you take off the oven, you can't put spices into it because a clear region will cook it. However, you could put spices into a dish, a plate, or a serving dish, because that's a klisheni. And that says Reb Yehuda, that's true only if it doesn't have vinegar in it. If it has vinegar in it, or fish brine in it, it will cook it regardless, and therefore it's aser. So we see that even though it's already mixed into other ingredients, it could still, it's still potent, and it can still cook. Says the Gemara, why didn't we say it's like Reb Yehuda that we quoted before, that when you have these kernels that became wet and they're about to crack, you could shrivel it, you can close them up by pouring vinegar into it. So we said, because from there we only see that vinegar by itself, when it's not mixed in, could stop it from chimutz. But we don't see that vinegar, once it's mixed into other things, could stop it from becoming chametz. Ula said that regardless whether the vinegar was put in second or the vinegar was put in first, either way it's a problem because we don't play around with getting close to becoming chametz, the same way that we tell another, don't go anywhere near a vineyard. Rapapi says the Gemara permitted the bakers of the Reish Galusa to put the flour of roasted kernels into a pot to thicken it. And that Rabbi says, how do you permit that to Avadim? We're not careful with halacha, they're going to end up allowing it to become chametz. Then the Gemara brings another version that Rabbi himself permitted thickening a pot with this flour from roasted kernels. The next Mishnah says one may not put flour into charoises or into mustard. If he did, it may be eaten right away because then it's not going to become chametz. Reb Meir says, no, even right away you should not eat it. Then we say you cannot coat the carbon Pesach not with other liquids and not with meperes, fruit juices. But at once it's already roasted, so then you could smear it or dip it into these liquids. Then we said the liquid that a baker uses while he's baking, the water that he uses has to be poured out because otherwise it will become chametz. So Gemara says, Rav Kana says that which the chum say that if you put the flour in, it may be eaten right away, that's dafka by mustard, which is strong and will stop it from becoming chametz. But Charei says, even the chum agree that it has to be burnt right away, it may not be eaten, and the Gemara brings a price to support that. Then the Gemara brings the opinion of Ravuna Breder Rebuda, who said in the name of Rav Nachman, who said in the name of Shmuel, that we pass like a chachamim. So in that, they asked him, do you pass like a chachamim only by charoises? Or maybe only by mustard? So, and the shai was again, because like Rav Kahana said before, like we just quoted, that even the chachamim agree by charoises that it's a problem. So he answered him, no, I hold that the chachamim said it across the board, even, not like Rav Kahana, even by charoises. However, says the Gemara, that Rav Ashi said that it's more mistabel, like Rav Kahana, that the Chum were only matir chadol mustard seed and not charoises. Because Shmuel says we don't pass like Rav Yosi, who said before that chametz works to stop the chametz process. So presumably, the same, if it doesn't stop it, it even causes it to make chametz. The Gemara says, no raya. It doesn't stop it, but it doesn't make chametz either, so maybe you could put it into charoises as well, because since it has vinegar in it, it will not become chametz. Then the Mishnah says you cannot cook a Karim Pesach with juices. So the Gemara quotes a Baisa. From the fact that Tara says you can't cook it in water, I might think dafkin water, how do you know any other liquids as well? So the Tanakhama says a Kavachimer. Water which doesn't take away the taste. And nonetheless, it's also, so other meaning, other types of liquids which take away the taste for sure should be yasser. And that Rebbe said a different drasha from the fact that it says, but my mind was saying dafka liquid. How do you know dafka water? How do you know other liquids? Because it says basha mafusha, double lashon to include any type of cooking, even if it's another liquid. The Gemara says, what's the nafka meaning between these two cheetahs? Nafkamina is if it's roasted in a pot and it cooks in its own juice. According to the first reason of taking away the taste, if it's cooked in its own juice, it's not going to take away the taste. According to the second reason, we're marble all types of cooking, even that would be a problem. So according to Rabbanan who don't dash and basham mavusha, what are they going to do with this double lashon? So the Gemara says we use it for the halakha of the following brisa. What happens if you cook it first and then you roast it? Or the opposite, you roast it first and then you cook it? Says the brisa you're chayv. So the Gemara asks, if I understand if you cook it first and then you roast it because it was cooked. But if you roast it first and then you cook it, lamaisa it was roasted, so why is it a problem? So Rabbi Kana says this is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who says in the brisa that you could be yotze matzah with a wafer that was soaked afterwards in water or was cooked afterwards, as long as it didn't disintegrate. That's the opinion of Rameir. Rabbi Yossi says no. If it was soaked, then you could be yotze as long as it didn't fall apart. But if it was cooked, no. So we see that the cooking after the baking is mevatel the baking. So who are then cooking after the roasting is mevatel the roasting. Says the Gemara, you could even say that our bris is the opinion of a mayor, because over here, since it says basho mevushal, a double lashon includes any type of cooking, even if it's a cooking that followed the roasting. Then the Gemara quotes a bris, I would think if it was tzalik called sarka, which the Gemara explains that you roasted it to the point that it burnt, totally burnt, that you, one would be chayv for eating it. So on that the pasuk says, don't eat it now, which is undercooked, or cooked in water. So dafka, these two are chayiv, but if it's roasted to the point that it's burnt, one would not be chayiv. Then another baisa, I would think if it's totally raw, one would be chayiv. Again, the same drasha. Only na and mevushal are chayiv, but totally raw, that would not be chayiv. If so, I would think it's mutter to eat it totally raw. So on that the pasuk continues. Rather, it could only be eaten roasted. So lamaisa at the end of the day, it's not roasted. So it would be usher to eat it like that, even though there would not be a chiv. Reb Chista says, if someone cooks on Shabbos in the hot springs of Tveria, he's potter. It's not called mevashel, but if he cooks a carbon pasuk like that, he would be chayv for eating cooked. So Mar says, why regarding Shabbos is it not called cooked? Because it's in order to be cooked, there has to be heat that comes from a fire. So if that's the case, the Gabi Karim Pesach also, why should it be called cooked? So the Gemara says, Enechanami, he didn't mean that you're over the lav of eating it cooked, but rather he meant the lav of eating it in a way that's not roasted. Because you darshan, al toichlu ki im tziyesh, don't eat it in any other way besides roasted. Then the Gemara says, brings a machloikis. Rava says if you eat it raw, there's two sets of malchus, one for eating it raw and one for eating it not roasted. Similarly, if you eat it cooked, there's two sets of malchus. And if you eat a kezias raw and a kezias cooked, kezias undercooked and then kezias cooked, so there's three sets of malchus, one for not, one for mavosha, one for not roasted. Abaye disagrees and says you can't get malchus for a lash of a clothes, a lav that's kailo more than one thing. So there's two opinions over here. One opinion says, according to Abaye, it means you won't be an extra set of malchus, but something that's not roasted or gnaw or undercooked would at least get one set of malchus from eating it not roasted. And the other opinion says, no, there wouldn't be any malchus at all from Kiyim Tzliyesh, because a lav of Shabbakos doesn't get a malchus at all, because it's not comparable to the lav of Chasima, lav of muzzling an animal while it threshes, which is the paradigm of malchus. Just like over there, it's a specific lav. It's not a lav of Shabbakos. So to all lav, in order to warrant malchus, have to be not a lav of Shabbakos. Similarly, with regard to Nazir, Rava says if a Nazir eats the peels of a grape, he gets two sets of malchus, one for the peels and one for the something that comes from a grapevine. If he eats the pits of a grape, the same thing, he gets two sets of malchus. If he eats the peels and the pits, he gets three sets of malchus. Abaye says, no, there's no, that lav of everything from the grapevine doesn't warrant malchus because it's a lav shabaklolos. It includes all the different things that come from the grapevine. Again, two opinions. One opinion says, according to Abaye, there won't be an extra set of malchus because of the lav of shabaklolos, but one set of malchus there would still be. And the other opinion, because according to Abaye, there wouldn't be malchus at all, since it's not comparable to the lav of chasima. Then the Gemara quotes a brisa that if he ate it, no, undercooked, but it was miboyd yoyim, on Erev Pesach, not Pesach night, so he's potter. If he eats it at night, then he's chayiv. Similarly, if a person eats a kezayis of the Korban Pesach, Erev Yontiv, so he doesn't have the problem of eating it in, of switching places that we know the Korban Pesach has to be eaten specifically in one place. Because that which he ate before the night doesn't count. Mashenken, if he ate it at night, so now he cannot eat it in a new place. Another brisa, the brisa says, I would think that if you eat this undercooked before an Erev Yontiv, he'll be chayiv, and if anything, it's a kal v'chomer. At night, where you're allowed to eat roasted, there's a lav of eating it na, so in the day where you're not allowed to eat it roasted, kol shekein, there should be a lav of eating it na. Or maybe we could have a different avamina. Then maybe by day, where it's more chomer, that's when there's a lav. At night, where it's not as chomer, and the Torah was already matur to eat it roasted, so maybe the lav of eating it not also came off. There would still be a nisr of eating it not roasted, but at least it won't be a lav anymore. So on that we say, no, the Torah says don't eat it na or mevushal, rather eat it roasted. So at the time that you're meant to eat it roasted, that's when you have the lav of eating it na mevushal, not at a time that you're not meant to eat it roasted, which means dafka at night, not by day. Then the Gemara quotes Rebbe, who says, if it would only, it should have only said bashul. Why does it say a double lashon and bashul mevushal? Because I would think that you're only chayav malchus if you cooked it at night at the time that you could eat it. But if you cooked it by day, even if you ate it at night, you won't be chayav for eating it cooked. That's the double lashon, that even if it was cooked by day, he gets malchus. Says the Gemara, don't we need the double lashon to include either that was cooked in its own juices or was cooked with different type of juice, like we said earlier? So says the Gemara, if that would be the case, it could say double lashon of the same, basho basho or mevushal mevushal. From the fact that it says a double lashon and it changes basho mevushal, so we see both drushes. Then the Gemara says, I would think that if he ate it roasted like it's supposed to be, but on Erev Pesach, he's chayiv. And if he ate it, no, undercooked, and at night, he's also chayiv. So it's mashma, the same way that eating it no at night is chayiv malchus, so too eating it roasted by day is chayiv malchus. Where do we get that from? Because the pasuk says you should eat the meat by laila zeh at night. It's mashu dafka at night, not by day. On that, the Gemara asks, that's a lava bo mechal asay, an iser that comes from inferring from an asay. Eat it at night, not by day. If that's the case, it's treated as asay and doesn't warrant malchus. Says Reb Chista that this is the sheet of Reb Yuda, that wherever it says leimar, it means malchus, like we learned with regard to balimum. It says nedavat hasol isay, they could be brought as a nedavat to bedek habayis, but not as a carbon. And we're medayik dafka balimum, one animals with blemishes could be given to bedek habayis, but ones that are tamimim that don't have blemishes cannot be given to bedek habayis. If that's the case, it's a lav of b'mochal say, I would think that it's only a say. How do you know that there's even a lav? Because the brisa continues. Reb Yudah says because it says Vaydabar Hashem Amash Leimar. What do we see in those words alav? So Rebbe asked this to Bar Kapara, and he explained. Because Leimar is short for Loi Nemar Bidvarim, that a lav was said with regard to these things. In Rav's yeshiva, they said a little bit differently. Lav Emar, Hashem told Moshe, Leimar, go tell Klai Yisrael that there's a lav over here. But either way, Leimar means that there's a lav. So what in our parasha that says Leimar, there not only is there an Issa Aseh, but there's also a lav. That which the Mishnah says that the water of Anachim must be spilled out. So the Gemara brings two biases. One bias says, only in an area that's slanty, but not in an area that's still. The other bais said it could even be spilled out where it will sit still. So Gemara says it's not a contradiction. If it's a lot that it won't get absorbed, it has to be dafka in the slant. If it's a small amount that will get absorbed in the ground, it could be even in a flat surface. Then Reb Yudah said that when a woman needs dough on Pesach, it should only be with mayim shalon and water that stayed overnight. Gemara brings a famous story where Master said this over in Lashon Kodesh, and they thought that he meant Mayim Shalon, water that is ours, so everybody came to get water from him, and he said, no, that I didn't mean that, rather I meant water that stayed overnight. Rava taught that when a woman needs dough, she shouldn't do it in the sun, because the heat of the sun will cause it to become chametz. Similarly, she shouldn't use water that was heated by the sun, and kolshkein, not water that was heated by fire. And she shouldn't even take water that was taken out of the kettle, because even though the kettle is off the fire, since it's consistently on the fire, the metal is always hot and it warms up the water that's inside. When she's working the dough, she should not stop it and take her hands away from the oven until she finishes everything. She shouldn't leave the dough sitting at even a drop. And she should have for herself two buckets of water. One that she uses to smear on top of the dough as she's as needed. And a second one to cool down her hands, because since she's constantly working the dough, the hands will warm up the dough. So therefore, every once in a while, she should cool off her hands with the other one. The Gemara asks the Shaila, what happens if a woman went against the halacha and she needed a dough with warm water, but she made sure it didn't become chametz? What's the halacha? Samar Zutra says, the Mutar Rav Ashi said, it's also because we give her a knas. Rabbi Zutra wanted to bring a raya because, like we said before, you're not allowed to do this lasisa pasta barley, but if you do, as long as it didn't become cracked, it didn't become chametz, the barley is mutter. Says the Rabashi, no raya from there, because not all takanas or abundant were made the same. Where we say it's mutter, but the evidence is mutter, but otherwise it might be it's also, because maybe over here the chazal felt to give a knas. The next paragraph, the Mishnah says, the following things you have to get rid of before Pesach. The Babylonian dip, which we had many times as a dairy dip, or beer that comes from Madai, or vinegar that comes from Edom. Zeis HaMamitri is a certain medicinal concoction that the Gemara will explain. Then there's a certain type of dye that the tzaboim, that the dyers used, or the dough that the chefs used to absorb the steam, or the glue of seifrim, which we'll explain what that is in the Gemara. All these things have to be gotten rid of before Pesach. Rabbi Eliezer says, also what the women, girls, use to adorn themselves, which again the Gemara is going to explain, we have to get rid of. And the Gemara summarizes it by saying, anything that comes from any of the types of grain has to be gotten rid of before Pesach. However, says the Mishnah, all these things, if they were to be eaten, since they're not real chametz, they're only either chametz that's ayidei taruvus, a mixture, or chametz nuksha, which is, means unedible chametz, therefore they would only be alav, but not karis. The Gemara brings a price that says three things about kutach habavli. It clogs a person's heart because of the whey that's in it. It blinds a person's eyes because of the salt. And it weakens the person's body because the crumbs inside become moldy. Then the Gemara says that three things cause a person to have a lot of solid waste, and it weakens a body to the point that it ruins his posture. And it takes 1/500th of his eyesight. What are these three things? Coarse bread, fresh beer that didn't sit, or raw vegetables that weren't cooked. Then, the opposite, the Bais says three things that diminish the amount of zevel that that a person produces, and it improves his posture, that it makes him strong, that he can stand straight, and it improves his eyesight. What are they? Clean bread, fatty meat, and old wine. So the Gemara says clean bread means that it was made from fine flour. Fatty meat is from a goat that never gave birth. And old wine means that it's already in its third year. Normally, says the Braisa, foods that are good for one part of the body are usually bad for another part. If it's bad for one thing, it's usually good for another thing. With the exception of fresh ginger, long peppers, bread made from fine flour, fatty meat, and old wine, that these things are good for the whole body. Sheikha Amadi, the beer of Amadi, is a problem because, as opposed to most of the beer in Eretz Yisrael, which was date beer, that beer had barley mixed in, so it's chametz taruvis. Similarly, the vinegar that comes from Edom had barley in it, because otherwise it wouldn't become sour, wouldn't become chametz, wouldn't become vinegar. Like Rav Nachman says that initially in Yehuda, when they used to bring karbanos from there, so because of that, the quality of the wine was good, and it wouldn't become chametz until there was a catalyst put in, which was barley, to make it turn into vinegar. Now that this milah was given to the people of Edom, that theirs doesn't become vinegar until they put barley in it, and that's why it's known as chametz adami. And this is a fulfillment of the pasuk that says imalach harava, which Chazal say that the two cities, Tzur and Yerushalayim, when one is full, the other one's destroyed, and when the other one's full, the first one's destroyed. Rav Nachum Ayitza says that we see that from another pasuk also, that Rivka was told, between Esav and Yaakov, one will always be stronger than the other. The Gemara quotes a brisa that Rabbi Yehuda said that in Yehuda initially, if you bought chametz from an amaretz, you didn't have to worry about the ma'ir, you didn't have to take off ma'aser, but now that it comes from regular wine, you do have to take off ma'aser. So the Gemara says even initially that it didn't come from wine, rather it came from temet, this inferior wine. Is it inferior wine potter? Doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say that we have an advice if a person makes temet, this inferior wine, by putting in an amount of water, and he finds exactly that amount according to the Tanakhama's potter, but Rabbi Yehuda says it's chayv and meiser, so Rabbi Yehuda considers temet regular wine. So the Gemara says, you're right, it's wine, but since it's so cheap, and Amoritz is not stingy, so we don't suspect him of not taking off Meiser. Or a second shot, really we do suspect him, but there's two types of Temet. If it's Temet that's made from sediment, so then it's not a Chayiv Meiser. The Temet that we're referring to over here is not made from the sediment, rather it's made from soaking the peels and the pits of the grapes, and therefore it only gets the taste, and there's no real wine in it, and that's why it's part of a Meiser. Zeisam HaMitzri is this medicinal thing that they made in Mitzrayim, that Rabbi Yosi says is three parts barley, three parts saffron, and three parts salt. Rabbi Papa replaced the barley with wheat, and the simon is that Rabbi Yosef, who sounds like a samach, said barley also, which sounds like a samach, which, like this keli that was known as a sisni, they're two samachs together. But either way, they would soak it and roast it and then grind it and would drink it between Pesach and Shavuos, and it was used that someone who was constipated, it would loosen him up, or someone who was too loose, it would diarrhea would heal it and make it regular. But for a woman who's pregnant or for a chayla, drinking this medicine would be a sakana. The zayman shel tzabayim that the Mishnah mentioned is water that bran was soaked in it that was used to dye the hide that comes around the chest of the animal. The amilim shel tabachim that we referred to before is a bread that was made from grain that wasn't even a third ripe, that they used to put it on the pot to absorb the impurities and the steam. And finally, what's this kalash shel seifrin? So in Babel they explained it, it's the glue that shoemakers use. But Reb Simi Mechaz Noel said it's the paste that came from the flour of the rich girls, that the poor girls took their leftovers and they used it to remove their hair. So Gemara said, asked Akasha on the second shot, that Reb Chiya says that the first four are mini medina, are things that are found in the common house. The last three are only from mini umnas, only the craftsmen have. Now, if it's the things that the girls use to remove their hair, then it's not a craftsman item. It's an item that anybody would have. So it must be that the pshat is the first pshat, that it's the shoemaker's glue. If that's the case, why do we call it kalon shel seifrim? Seifrim are scribes. We should call it the kalon shel batsanim, the shoemakers. So Gemara said, the reason is because the same glue is used by the seifrim, used by the scribes, to attach the pieces of paper to each other. That's why it was known as kalon shel seifrim.